This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for staying with us on the morning run.
The Malaysian ringgit has recorded its steepest monthly drop since November 2016 and is the second worst performing emerging Asian currency after the Korean won. With the ringgit USD cross rate declining by 4.37% on a year-to-date basis.
Generally, a weak currency is good for exports as it makes selling of goods more affordable when compared to goods from stronger currencies. However, a weak currency could also be challenging for the economy as it makes imports more expensive. But what is the case? What is the cause of this ringgit weakness and how low can it go?
Well, to answer this question and more, we turn now to Satyani Supat, the Executive Vice President and Head of FX Research of Global Markets at Maybank Singapore, to break down the ringgit depreciation and also on the other regional currencies that have been dominating headlines recently. Satyani, the Malaysian ringgit's biggest monthly decline in 5 years. Now, what is the reason behind this? The dollar strength or the weakness of the Malaysian economy?
Good morning. Glad to be here today. It's actually a more reflection of broader dollar strength. I think a confluence of external risk factors. I think notably, bulk of the losses in the ringgit versus the dollar accelerated in the second quarter. There were a few underpinning factors which started to deteriorate, including the recent upswing in the US Treasury yields and the hawkish comments from the Fed officials in the run-up to the current the move yesterday, and of course, IMF's downgrade of global growth. On top of that, we have that war in Ukraine and Russia, and we have this, in particular, more recently, sharp and continued decline in the CNH with the rising risks of China's slowdown given extended lockdowns and the developments out of COVID out of China. So those are the external factors, but domestically, on the monetary policy front, in Malaysia, it's expected to lag most regional peers in terms of rate hike cycle. So our house view currently expects one hike this year. So it will reflect the increasing divergence with Fed's or hawkish signaling as well. So the last point I just want to highlight is that indeed, Malaysia is a net energy commodity exporter, but we don't want to highlight that the oil price surge in the first quarter is actually moderated quite significantly from the near $140 per barrel peak in March. So it has actually fallen down. So that has contributed somewhat as well.
So in the past few years, the correlation with the Chinese yuan has grown stronger. Will the ringgit direction move in tandem with the current weakness of the yuan, or is it possible for the correlation to dissipate?
This is one of the more stronger sort of factors driving the ringgit more recently. The dollar CNH was at a low of about 636 at the end of March, and has since moved above 6.6. Meanwhile, the dollar ringgit has actually showed some stickiness near the 420 this quarter before surging above 435 recently. This, in some ways, does reflect the close correlation between ringgit and the yuan relative to others in the region. However, we do note that the ringgit's sensitivity to China recent events could be magnified, given that its economy is actually more exposed to external demand and that a share of trade linkages with China are outsized at just below a quarter, far above other nations or other countries. The second top trading partner is Singapore at modestly above one-tenth of Malaysia's trade basket. So it shows from a trade exposure perspective. At times of heightened oil volatility, shifts in expectations for China demand, especially given the recent partial lockdowns, can also add to the in some ways, bearish forces on oil and in turn influence sentiments for oil-linked ringgit, as we have seen in recent weeks. But I think looking in the medium term, bilateral trade relations have strengthened in the past decade with China, becoming Malaysia's largest trading partner since 2009, and will likely remain so under the RCEP framework. So there are also quite strong linkages of companies between both countries. In some ways, trade with Malaysia was up 65% in the first quarter, and it does little to suggest that the ringgit's correlation to renminbi can weaken significantly in the medium term is quite low. So near term, I think idiosyncratic factors such as divergence in growth trajectory and all that, and further crude oil supply shocks from Russia and NATO conflicts could slightly weaken the correlation. But I think that's at the margin in the near term.
So Sakthi, just now you were saying from ringgit, you anticipate one hike. But if you contrast it to what the Fed in the US has done, they've raised rates by 50 bips for this May, and they look set to continue that rate normalization program. So that's going to fundamentally affect the current positive interest rate differential between both countries. Will this really lead an outflow of funds?
I think the we've seen so far yesterday the 50 basis point hike was actually fully priced in somewhat. The markets are still expecting further hikes of about 50 basis points over the next three June, July, and September FOMCs. Like I mentioned earlier, one of the key things is domestic Bank Negara's expectations on our side. We're expecting one hike. The differentials between both will still be there. So in some ways, in terms of the lack of Fed on policy the Fed on policy normalization and policy divergence, will see dollar strength to continue to be there. I wouldn't say it would be very pronounced, but it will still be there in terms of US Treasury yield differentials between the expectations of a rate hike in the US coming on stream much, much more relative to when on the Malaysia side will come on stream. So the bulk of the narrowing of the US Treasury and the MGS yield differentials, which occurred and started in 2022 for about minus 220 basis points, is now narrowed to about 140 basis points. But the further narrowing of the USD MGS yield differentials amid the growing February Bainan policy divergence could see ringgit outflow gathering pace a bit, and this would have negative bearing on the ringgit.
Yeah, so where do you see the ringgit, say, by the end of the year, Sakthi?
At the moment, we just revised our forecast. End of the year, we think it could be around the range of 430 to 435. It could reach a peak in the second quarter around that 440 to 445. But it also depends on how the dollar pans out over the next few months, and also the renminbi, because we're expecting renminbi to potentially still rise a bit higher to actually address some of the growth concerns there, but to make it a bit more stable eventually will come on stream only around third quarter and fourth quarter this year.
And since we have you on the line, if we were to look regionally, the currency of the strength is Singapore dollar. With inflation at an all-time high and the government set to curb its effects, can we expect this trend to continue?
I think the Sing dollar is not really immune to broader external risks coming from the Ukraine war, China developments on a trade-weighted basis. We should see Sing dollar actually continue to see some resilience because the policy-wise, they have actually front-loaded in terms of policy normalization. We note that Singapore is also somewhat ahead of regional peers in terms of the reopening policies, which should be overall supportive of Sing dollar sentiments as well. But with the latest adjustments, group sizes and all that domestically there, more importantly, I think all workers are actually returning to the workplace up to about 75% previously. So I think all that would help in some ways. But lastly, just one observation that historically, Sing dollar has seen more modest drags versus regional peers such as Ringgit IDR on Fed policy normalization concerns. There's a bit of regional safe haven sort of flows into the Sing dollar to some extent as well. So we still assess projection range of about 0.5% to about 1.5% for Sing near or Sing dollar trade rated to hold for now.
And Sakthi, we need to get your opinion on this Japanese yen, right? Downward trend, hitting a 20-year low against the US dollar. Now, many people say it's really good for the economy and equity markets, but even the finance minister is really saying that this is a bit too low. So at what point do we say that inflection point where it becomes negative for the economy?
I think I wouldn't say there is a line in the sand, but the previous high was about 135, 2002 high. It could be a psychological resistance, but let me elaborate quickly. The main issue at hand is the fact that Bank of Japan still view cost push inflation pressures as being transitory. And I think ultra dovish policy will be needed to support growth. Yes, indeed, Kuroda noted downsides of excessive moves in the currencies for companies. There was no change in his stance that a weak yen is positive overall for the Japanese economy at current levels. That has helped somewhat. But at some point, if persistent rallies in dollar-yen are seen, like I mentioned, towards 135, we do not rule out more discernible signs of intervention from the finance ministry, or more signs of shifts in Bank of Japan's stance that a weak yen is positive for the economy still to some extent. But my worry is that if it, the upswing is too rapid, there could be indeed a need for abrupt intervention efforts to boost the yen or stabilize the yen somewhat as well.
Okay, thank you, Sakti, for your time. Now, Saktiani Supat, Executive Vice President and Head of FX Research of Global Markets at Maybank Singapore. Well, for me, the headline number from that discussion was 440 for the ringgit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
More dollar strength going forward, and of course, a bit more ringgit weakness going forward.
And I just want to connect quickly. Tengku Zafrul had written an op-ed where he said for every 10 cent depreciation of the ringgit against the US dollar, GDP is expected to rise by 0.05%. Exports grow about 30 billion, but of course, it all comes at a higher inflation and higher cost.
Of course. Right. 7:29, we'll come back after this and beyond with the news, and beyond that, a discussion on the Asia Pacific recovery that's happening after that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.